T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights, of course, right here on 610 Sports Radio. He joins us weekly to chat all things sports. We force him to.
I think overnights,
I think overnights he's not as willing to do it.
No, he doesn't talk sports overnight. No, he talks to a lot of callers about nonsense. I mean, if you listen, man, he's got them coming out
overnight. People,
yeah. Is good, man. I mean, those overnight people really are characters. But we got football tonight, man. Thursday night football. We got the Bears and the Dallas Cowboys, and it's not a great matchup per se. But man, we get to see Jerry Jones, don't we?
Well, even if they win, the highlight of these Cowboys games is Jerry Jones addressing the media after every Cowboy game, and then everyone's got their decoder ring out trying to figure out what Jerry actually meant because he sends these cryptic messages. But yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, I don't believe they've beaten a team with a winning record this year, and even if they win tonight, that doesn't count because the Bears have the same record as the Cowboys, and it's like they're leading the world in offense, Dallas. I mean, we know the story there, and yet they just make enough mistakes to screw it up. And I actually like the Bears in the game tonight at home as an underdog. Everyone's bet on the Cowboys. These teams are even to me. I don't see much of a difference at all. And, I don't think Dallas is any good, and I don't think the Bears are that good either. So I think it's an even matchup. It should come down to the end. And hopefully, as you said, the Cowboys lose painfully, and then Jerry is in tears after the game like he was last week.
I just finally want to see it. What should be done, which is Jerry actually to be owner coach. Just do it for a while, prove it's a failure, but just so we can all just have that fun for a while.
Yeah, even if it was only for like the interim coach, if they fired Jason Garrett and then for like the final 3 games, Jerry got the coach. And or make him the offensive play caller, have him actually call the plays, which some say he actually probably does anyway, or did do a couple years back with the Cowboys. But it's great. Listen, he's the GM, and I think we've talked about this in the past, but if I owned a team, I would like to be the GM also. I think if you were rich enough to buy a sports franchise, wouldn't you? That's all the fun, picking the players, right? I would do the same thing that Jerry Jones is doing, although I probably would not be as open doing news conferences and stuff like Jerry, but that's the fun part, picking players. He's been the GM in the NFL since like the 1980s. This is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy right now. It really is. And I think the other crazy thing tonight is when you're watching the game and you sit down and watch it, at least from Tom Brady perspective, he's going to be looking in the mirror at Mitchell Trubisky. Who will have a better week this week, Tom Trubisky or Mitchell Brady?
Yeah, well, you figure, the Patriots at home are okay. The only way the Patriots can win, though, is these close-to-the-vest games. So I would take Trubisky. If that's the toss-up, I would take Tom Trubisky over Mitch Brady.
Don't do this, man. I know the Chiefs'
defense is not great. It's near the bottom, I think the 25th or whatever statistically. And they've had some decent games sprinkled in. But, going into Foxborough and all that, I think the Patriots will score a little bit, but the only way they can win is in these games in the low 20s and all that, and I think it's very similar to the Bears. You're right. I mean, it's a great comparison, but I would take Trubisky if I was playing fantasy sports, because Brady, let's put it this way, guys. If he lights up the scoreboard against the Patriots, then you're going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting there with that defense, because Brady has not been lighting it up against anybody over the last few weeks. Actually, a couple months, it's been bad.
It really has been bad. And so are you one of these guys who is throwing dirt on the Patriots? Are you ready to bury that team?
No, I'm not, only because I saw last year. I thought Brady was done. I was doing some local stuff at the station in Boston last year and filling in, and I was like, I looked at the numbers, and Brady had been down, and then all of a sudden the playoffs started, and he started throwing touchdowns, and he looked more like the vintage of the quarterback that he had. But he didn't have playmakers. I am not prepared. At some point, the Patriots will be done. I mean, this could be very well the end of it. Brady should he certainly looks like he's done the way he's played the last couple of second half of the season, the last eight games, which I guess not the second half of the season, but I'm not going to write the eulogy for the Patriots yet because they still are the number two seed and they still would have home field advantage up until they play the Ravens. And we saw what they did last year on the road in Kansas City, so they can win on the road. But Brady seems a lot worse this year than he was last year. He was bad last year. He has taken another step down. And he doesn't have playmakers. I mean, that's the thing. You look at the Chiefs defensively, you stop Edelman, you pretty much have stopped the Patriots' passing game as far as the wide receivers are concerned. They got one guy who's like a slot possession type receiver at this point in Julian Edelman, and they throw these little dink and dunk passes to White out of the backfield. That's pretty much it. They had nothing else, the Patriots.
Will the declaration of done be able to happen other than in a playoff failure, meltdown, something like that?
Yeah, I think, Josh, it has to be the playoffs. I think that you look at this and it's like if they get in, it's like a cornered rattlesnake, right? I was talking about, the most dangerous thing, a cornered rattlesnake or a cornered bear or whatever, any cornered animal, and they still have the defense. Like, the defense is legit. And the argument, I remember we all played high school sports or high school football, and we learned, my coach taught me, there's three ways to win a football game: defense, offense, and special teams. The Patriots are really good at two of the three. So two of the three gives you a seat at the table. The problem is offense would seemingly be, they're at such a disadvantage against everyone else offensively that's the kryptonite for the Patriots. But they can win on special teams and defense because they get like block kicks and they have pretty good return teams and all that stuff, and the defense is great. But the problem is at some point you're going to have to move the ball other than in garbage time. But, no, you can't write them off. As long as they're in the playoffs and they have a seat at the table, no, you get the shovel out when they lose in the playoffs and get stomped on. Then you're like, that's it, they're done.
It's something we've been talking about all morning long, Ben, about how big a game this is. Obviously, it seems bigger for the fans maybe than it is for the Kansas City Chiefs. If the Chiefs go up and lose to the Patriots, it's not that big a deal. But, boy, if they win, that really changes, I think, the perception of the Kansas City Chiefs both here in Kansas City and probably nationally as well.
Yeah, when's the last time the Patriots lost at home? I think, was it like 2017 or something like that? I think I read that Ron Rivera and Carolina were the last team to win in Foxborough. And I think that was, I want to say 2017. I don't think they lost last year. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, I mean, that's when you go in there with that Patriots defense and the weather is always kind of nasty and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, that would certainly help the Chiefs' confidence more. Like, if the Patriots are supposed to win the game, right, because they're at home and all that. So I think that's the proper analysis on that if they win. And it would also help, listen, the last couple of weeks, you guys have seen it. Patrick Mahomes has not been that great. He's been okay, but he hasn't been that great. And, if he can light it up and get back on track against the Patriots, that would go a long way also.
Do you have concern about Patrick Mahomes over the last couple of weeks, or you just think it's him kind of getting back from injury?
Yeah, I want to see more. He definitely hasn't gotten his sea legs underneath him. I don't think of the Chargers and the Raiders as great defensive teams. I know the Chargers have some decent names on defense, but I don't think of those teams as like upper echelon defensive teams. And it's just a half a step. Like, he's not quite there. Now, obviously, he's got a couple of weeks. He is coming off the injury, but I'm not. Keep an eye on this. This is something you file it away. And I'm not all there yet because nobody could stop him. You guys, the last year, won the MVP, nobody could stop him. Now, all of a sudden, he's looking mortal.
Talk with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. We already saw our first coach go down in Ron Rivera. Who else is going to go down?
Although
this year,
may show up for work again today.
Yeah, he may come back to work. Yeah,
just do another presser.
yeah, exactly. Let's see. Who coaches to be fired? Well, obviously, Jason Garrett is at the top of the list. Right. And Pat Shurmur of the Giants. The fact that Shurmur's continued on and they haven't gotten rid of him is fascinating to me because he is one of the worst coaches in NFL history. So I would put him on the list. You go down, you could say that Atlanta could change coaches here. That's a possibility as far as what's going to happen in the offseason. And outside of that, I think Philly's going to change a bunch of coordinators. I think Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, will be out. And Cleveland, with Mr. Country Biscuits, Country Gravy, their head coach, Freddie Kitchens, I would say he's probably dead man coaching. He'd be one and done. And there's always that surprise, though, too. So it's fun. You know, you get the surprise. I don't think the Dolphins or Bengals, they suck, and I don't think they're going to change coaches. But I think we'll see three or four other coaches get whacked.
Do you think that Ron Rivera gets a head coaching job right away, and if so, where?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a candidate with the Giants. I think he's got connections with Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants. I think that's a no-brainer. He's part of the good old boys network, right? You guys know the nepotism in football. He's a football lifer, Ron Rivera. He's a respected coach. I believe he gets interviewed. Now, Mike McCarthy is another guy that he got interviewed for the Cleveland job last year, and then he didn't get it or in the offseason, and so he's going to be back in the mix. But, yeah, if Ron Rivera goes back, I would put the Giants at the top of the list. And there's he's got a lot of friends in the media who are going to work as advocates and surrogates to try to help get him back in there. At worst, he's a defensive coordinator next year. But he could be the head coach of the Giants. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he got that job.
Not at all. Ben, enjoy watching LeBron walk out in L.A., and we'll talk to you again next week.
Just make sure you put shoes on. Thanks, guys.
There it is. Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio joins us every week at this time here on 610 Sports Radio.
At 8, Christian Fourier, former Pats tight end, now talk show host, lets you know that the Pats have everyday problems,
isn't
too.
Isn't that a song? That's Everyday People.
Yeah. Everyday Problems, totally different. But coming up, someone may need Sunday's win more than the Chiefs do. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Welcome in, Thursday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. Kramer's in with us once again. What's he wearing? Oh, he's got a Cardinal hat on.
You're wearing that stupid Cardinal hat. I didn't acknowledge it today because it's terribly bad.
I have bad hair right now. That's why I put a hat on. Well,
get yourself a haircut.
Kramer, the least liked person on 610 Sports Radio because he's a Cardinal and Raider fan.
That is exactly right. Hey, we got some new listeners today. We got to welcome in.
But a nice guy.
Very nice guy. Yeah. We got to welcome in some new listeners today because from the 417, they texted in, Bob, you called him Phyllis Rivers. I love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been Bob's thing for quite a long time. So, yes. Unfortunately, yes. And if you haven't learned Tom Trubisky yet, that's his new one.
We're going to stay
away from that one as much as possible, at least this week.
Good old T-squared.
Yeah.
You can't be jumping on this,
You can jump on that bandwagon. You can wear that bad-looking Cardinals hat and jump on the Tom Trubisky bandwagon as well. Ben Maller did, too. He was even calling him Mitchell Brady.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody's in on this. No. Tom Trubisky and Mitchell Brady putting up the same numbers this year, man. No.
I'd rather be facing Trubisky.
Would you? Yeah. Would you really?
Yeah.
Really? Are you sure about
playing
that?
The Thursday night game against
are
him.
You sure you'd rather
playing
be facing?
Tonight? Is he back?
Yeah, he may not be back. I don't know. I think they're going to roll out Kyle Orton probably in Chicago.
Is this a Chase Daniel game tonight?
Oh, he's terrible too. My God, Chase Daniel's biggest problem is he played.
I know.
He stinks.
I have always said that's your biggest mistake. You can have a long, although he's not been this, he's been around long enough that
he's made
even
enough money.
Even if he was escorted out now,
He made $8 million with the Bears this year, I think.
He's done really well. But, yeah, you don't want to play. And if you can't play, you don't want to play enough that you get exposed.
Right. He's not there.
You want to play just enough and just well enough that people keep bringing you back as a backup quarterback.
Well, he's not there for his playing ability. He was brought in because of his mind and his meeting room and all that kind of stuff. And I remember when he signed, I talked to some people in Chicago, and they're like, yeah, they had to outbid the Chiefs to get him there to help Mitchell Trubisky kind of learn the new offense that Matt Nagy was bringing in. Because at that time, the Chiefs wanted to bring him back as the backup quarterback, and the Bears, like, paid him double what the Chiefs were offering him. I'm like, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. Like, they need him for his mind up there, man, because he knows the playbook. He knows the system. I'm like, oh, okay, so you're paying, like, $8 million for this guy to sit here and hopefully help Mitchell Trubisky. And it worked out well last year, but then he had to play this year. He has not looked good in his time playing. So good luck to you in Chicago the rest of the way. Maybe that's where Tom Brady ends up next year. They already got him there now.
So would it even be an upgrade if Tom goes there?
Yeah, of course.
It'd be the same.
It'd be definitely an upgrade.
Be exactly the
same. A little bit of an upgrade.
You can bring Gronk a little bit. Yeah, Gronkowski, he fit in well in Chicago.
Oh, don't even start that now.
Gronk and Brady in Chicago, the Napervillians would love it.
Oh, yeah. Gronk would do well in Chicago.
Oh, my God, yes, he would. He'd be fantastic. Yeah, he'd be a cult hero.
They'd love him. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. They'd love him up
there.
Get him
to Wrigleyville in the offseason.
Oh, he'd be throwing out the first pitch.
Just be nuts.
Brady could catch it for him. Oh, it'd be insane. Yeah. They may even do a White Sox game. It'd be so crazy.
Why not?
He'd dance at the Bulls game like he did at the Lakers game. Hey, Gronk in Chicago, that's a home run.
I feel like the collective we, could use the win a Sunday, maybe even more so than the Chiefs. I think it'd be good for the Chiefs to be able to prove that they can win at Foxborough, and to get the confidence for Patrick Mahomes that he can beat Tom Brady and can beat the Patriots.
Do you think he needs the confidence?
I don't feel like he does, but yeah. It would be nice to get him that. But more so for us.
Yeah, the fans. Yeah.
I mean, this is a hurdle that more so us need to overcome than the team needs to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I was listening to Binkley yesterday, and he had Pete Sweeney on from Arrowhead Pride, and they were kind of talking about the meaning of this game and the impact of this game. And I mean, we're not the only ones talking about this. New England's been talking about this game since Monday as well. They're talking about it from a different perspective about how it's all falling apart for the Patriots. But I agree with what Binkley and Pete Sweeney were saying, Sweeney Dog, we like to call him, were talking about on Wednesday. And they were mentioning that, like, this is a bigger game maybe for the fans than it is for necessarily the team itself. And I kind of feel that way, too. I think this is, when you're ranking who this game is big for, number one with a bullet on this list, Kansas City fans. Like, we need this game. We need this win because I think this win will solidify a lot of people's thoughts about this being a Super Bowl team. I think if the Chiefs lose this game, there will be a good portion of the fan base that will be like, all right, we're not going to the Super Bowl again this year. We can't beat New England. If the Chiefs go out and beat New England, then I think there's going to be a lot of people coming back to the party and back to the bandwagon of it's Super Bowl or bust. That's where I've been since the season started. Hell, I was there last year in January when the season ended. It was Super Bowl or bust going into the next season. That's where we are right now with this team, and that's the way we have to look at it, Super Bowl or bust. I've not come off of that because I still think this is a really good team that is healthy and is peaking at the right time and is playing their best football on both sides of the ball at the right time. And if they go to New England and lose, oh, well, that's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go to New England and lose when the schedule originally came out. But if they go to New England and win on Monday morning, Josh, this place is going to be on fire. This town is going to be electric. And it's not just going to be from the Christmas lights that are being lit up all over town. It's going to be Chiefs fans going crazy because we finally slayed that dragon and knocked off the New England Patriots and beat them in their barn, in their yard, on their field, on their cheating headsets. That's what it's going to be all about. People are going to be at a different level excited than we've ever seen before in the regular season, maybe since that 2014 game against the Patriots, and nobody really enjoyed that one because the next night we beat the A's in the wild card game, and it was on for baseball. And so I think this game, if the Chiefs end up winning this football game, it will be the biggest regular season win of Andy Reid's career. It will be the biggest regular season win we've seen in quite some time, and it will be a game that brings everybody back in Kansas City and outside of Kansas City as the Chiefs being a legit Super Bowl contender, and people will start talking about the AFC Championship game in Baltimore featuring the Ravens and Chiefs.
Yeah, then this.
And you know what I'm doing on Monday morning if that happens? Switching the hotel reservations, baby.
Stop. Why do you have to preemptively do this? It's not your money.
Got to book the Baltimore hotel now.
It's not your money. You say that all the time about teams, right?
It's not your money. You're right, it's not.
It's not your money.
But I want to get a room. I want to make sure we got a place, not a flea bag. Because we're taking over Baltimore. We're taking crab cakes, and we're throwing them at Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and we're kicking their ass, and we're winning the AFC Championship trophy in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, a win like this does propel you into that next phase. That if there were people that were having doubts, and there were, right?
Sure. I think you had that midseason swoon. People are like, uh-oh, what's going
on
here?
Now it's like, okay, you're legit again.
Yeah.
You beat, and it doesn't matter if it's a quote unquote down Patriots team or what have you. They're 10-2.
They're not a down team.
But if you are helpful in their demise, it's like more power to it. Mm-hmm. It's still going to come down to probably a playoff game there.
Sure.
But I think it will go a long way to making us feel like, oh, we can do this.
But this may
we can do this in a game that counts. I mean, winning that game a few years ago on opening night was nice.
Yeah.
But it was opening night.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because you're still like, okay, well, what does that mean for later? This one would be late in the season.
Mm-hmm. December. They don't lose in December.
Cold conditions of playoff football. This has more of a playoff football feel, right?
It does. Bill Belichick's going to have to amp up his cheating in this one.
He might have to wear an extra layer, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know it gets serious. If you're able to pull this one off, This gives all of us a little bounce in the step.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's a big win. And this, quite honestly, Josh, with Tom leaving probably at the end of this season and this thing coming apart,
this may be the last time you really have to go to New England and worry about getting a win, because they ain't going to be playing in the playoffs much more after Tom Brady leaves.
That is a fact.
Yeah. This may be it.
Could be.
Like, this may be the last meaningful game the Chiefs play in New England for who knows how long.
Because as much as they're talking about where Tom's going, I haven't heard the, well, then who's next?
Who's next?
Yeah.
Who is next?
They'll trade back
for Jimmy G.
That was always a conspiracy, right? That he was on loan?
He was on loan. Go get your feet wet, come back to New England. That may change things up a little bit. What if you trade? If you trade Tom Brady and a first-round pick to San Francisco for Jimmy G?
Oh, I don't think they're sending Tommy there. No.
No?
No. Tommy would be a separate transaction.
Okay, separate transaction. Two first-round picks for Jimmy G, they'd do it.
Something.
They would absolutely do that.
They'd get him back. Whatever their agreement was when they sent him there.
Right. Oh, that's true. They already have that agreement done.
Yeah. I would think that was already done. That was done with stipulations back in the day.
Back in the day.
Nudge.
Because Shanahan and Brady or Belichick are friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can draw those dots.
Well, your tinfoil hat's tighter than mine today.
Maybe so.
Good Lord.
Maybe so. Mizzou's in the market for a football coach, among others, and they're battling kind of the same, a bunch of teams kind of on their tier too, which makes it difficult.
Yeah,
I think
the Mississippi schools, the Arkansas, you know, places like that. But I was told yesterday, like, Josh Heupel may be the leader in the clubhouse for this one right now at University of Central Florida. And of course, he was at Mizzou, got fired there, but then became the head coach at UCF after Scott Frost left. I think he's 21-4 down there. He's done a really nice job down there. Got a big buyout, but it can be considerably lower after the bowl game in January that they're going to end up going to. And then Willie Fritz are the two names right now that are the 1A and 1B, I think, for the University of Missouri. I don't know if either name really excites a lot of Missouri fans, but again, I don't know what the expectation level is for Missouri fans. You're not going to get an Urban Meyer or somebody like that to go to the University of Missouri. I think MU needs to, like, if Josh Heupel wants to be the coach and they offer him the job, I think that seems like a nice hire. I think he's got the Bob Stoops kind of pedigree inside of him, and, you know, he's won as a head coach already at University of Central Florida, so I think that could be a possibility and a good hire for them. I know Willie Fritz has said that it is his dream job. Look, my dream job is to coach Kansas, okay, or whatever. I manage a Major League Baseball team. Nobody's hiring me to do that because I say it's my dream job. But Willie Fritz may not be a bad guy either. He's being interviewed by Arkansas. He's at Tulane right now. He's a couple of games under .500 at Tulane, but he's had a nice progression and a rise as a head coach at all different levels of coaching. And so he could be a guy that, you know, the University of Missouri goes out and gets. But from what I'm hearing, Josh Heupel, Willie Fritz are kind of, you know, the top two candidates right now. And Josh Heupel, if it were to happen today, would potentially be the leader in the clubhouse. Doesn't mean he's going to get the job, but that's, you know, kind of the rumor on the street right now from a pretty reliable source.
Which couldn't be today because you don't want to pay the buyout.
No, that's true. You don't want to buy that thing out now. Yeah, but if that's the guy you want, then what's $10 million when you're in the SEC? One game?
Well, what's nothing if you wait?
But maybe he gets scooped up by somebody else too. Who knows?
Maybe.
So that's where they stand. I don't know if that makes
Feels like a franchise tag. Just go ahead and wait that out.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know if that excites Missouri fans or not. I think Josh Heupel would be a nice hire. He's had success. I mean, you're hiring a guy who's had proven success as a head coach. I think that would be good.
Nick Kostos, our betting insider, drops by in 30 minutes coming up at 8:15. He'll set the weekend ahead, including Chiefs-Patriots. But coming up, it's time to mess with the playoffs next.
Fesco in the morning.
It is time to mess with the playoffs. No, not those playoffs, Bob. We can keep the college football playoff. We can keep that one to four.
Keep it at four. The four works great because it just causes so much conversation, you know?
Yeah. The only reason I would go to eight, not because more are justified, because conferences would want it to go to eight so they can actually get in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you go to eight, everybody gets – you put you it to eight, five.
All the conferences are happy, and they can all get their money and blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
Blah, blah.
And then Alabama would have a shot.
Yeah, that's right. And then four seems fine.
I like the conversation this week. Speaking of the Patriots being done, the college football topic this week was Nick Saban is done at Alabama. He is no longer the GOAT. It is now Dabo Sweeney because of where the Alabama is right now. So, I mean, like, sports is just unbelievable. You never, ever, ever –
look at body of work of what people have done over the course of their career until it's time to, you know, maybe put them in the Hall of Fame or something, because I don't think Nick Saban has done it at Alabama. I don't think the ship has sailed on the Crimson Tide, and I'm not willing to write off Alabama, much like in the NFL, and I know you're late to the party on this. I'm a little earlier to the party with the New England Patriots and throwing dirt on the Patriots. People wanted to throw dirt on the Patriots 5 years ago, and they've won two Super Bowls since that, I believe. So this is one of those deals where Alabama is the New England Patriots now of college football, and everybody is saying that dynasty is over, they're done, and Nick Saban has lost it at Alabama.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Or he lost, like, maybe the best player in college football?
Right. That's right. But nobody wants to factor that in.
All right.
Especially in college football. You lose your quarterback in college football, my goodness. I mean, you're done. You just are. I mean, college football is all about the quarterback. That's it. If you have the quarterback, you can win in college football. And if you lose the quarterback,
he ain't done.
No, of course he's not done.
No.
Not even close.
He'll win a
national championship next year because he's going to be so mad.
But anyway, while we don't necessarily want college football to mess with it, maybe it would be better served if the NFL did mess with theirs.
Well, they're talking about it again this year, and it's been a kind of a topic of conversation all around you know, the football annals, if you will. And I saw it on Pro Football Talk last night, and that's when I finally said, all right, maybe it is time to address this and talk about the kind of the seeding process of the NFL playoffs. And every year we get to the end of the year and we're like, okay, you know, all four teams that win a division get a home game and they host the wild card teams. And sometimes you get an 8-8 team that won a division hosting a 10-6 team and things like that. But we go back a couple of years ago, almost 10 years ago now, when Seattle hosted as a 7-9 division winner and New Orleans went up there and they lost that football game. Now, the onus is on New Orleans at that point in time at 10-6 or whatever they were, 13-3, whatever they were as a wild card team that year. You've got to find a way to win those games. If you truly are the better team, then you will win those games. The Saints proved that they weren't a better team than Seattle that year, and they ended up losing to a 7-9 division winner. And so that started the talk back then about possibly reseeding the playoffs and reseeding based on record and not winning the division. Winning the division will still get you in, but won't guarantee you a home playoff game, is what kind of the overwhelming opinion is right now of what they should do with the NFL and with the postseason. And I got to say, I'm not necessarily against that, because sometimes you get in these divisions, New England, the Chiefs, where you just roll through the divisions and the divisions just aren't competitive. Like, the AFC West really hasn't been that competitive, save the Chargers last year, a blip on the radar screen. It really hasn't been that competitive of a division since Andy Reid came here and started dominating that division. Obviously, the AFC East has been a dumpster fire for the last 20 years. The Jets can't get out of their way. The Bills, for the most part, have stunk. The Dolphins are absolute garbage. So they've had the ability to win that division and win that thing going away every single year. And then you look at a division like the AFC South this year. Houston, Indianapolis, Tennessee, man, they're all vying right there for playoff spots and all have the same records and are beating up on each other. And that's a tough division, you know, to win. And if you win that division, man, that you're really doing something down there. But some of these divisions have been, you know, kind of runaways and blowouts and really haven't given you that kind of competition. And so what a lot of folks want to do around football is still have your six teams, still have your four division winners and your two wild cards, but seed it based on record and not necessarily because you won the division.
So a wild card could be seeded ahead of a division winner.
Right, exactly.
And host.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's fair. I think it should be body work because there's only six division games or whatever it is, Josh. You know, it's not like you're out there and you're playing, you know, like a Big 12 basketball schedule where you have 18 games.
Yeah, I've always said
that
the division games
six division games is nothing.
They're nice and they're rivalry, but
right.
They don't. I mean, it's your overall record that impacts things. And the only time you have to worry about that, it's tiebreakers, whatever.
Right, correct,
Other than that, it doesn't have enough impact.
Right, it really doesn't. And so
I want to play three times to make it more impactful
with
each team, but it just the way it's set up, it's kind of silly.
And I think right now when you look at, obviously, the AFC, nothing would really change with that because there's not like a 13-3 type of wild card team or anything like that in the AFC. But you look over in the NFC right now, and that's where everybody really has kind of their dander up, if you will. You've got the New Orleans Saints right now as the one seed. Seattle is the two seed. Both are at 10-2. Then you've got the Green Bay Packers at 9-3, the three seed. And the Dallas Cowboys are kind of the outlier, and they play tonight. They're sitting at 6-6. Right now, they would host a playoff game, and they would host
Seattle,
San Francisco.
at 10-2.
Yeah, San Francisco.
The 49ers, who have played great all season long, would never get a home playoff game because they're playing in a tough division out there with a quality other team in Seattle. And so you could say, yeah, do better, win more games during the regular season. But if they finish with those identical records, like if San Francisco ends up 13-3 and Seattle ends up 13-3, Seattle gets the nod, they get the 2 seed, and then San Francisco becomes the 5 seed, and their whole body of work is basically just thrown out the window because not only do they not get a bye in the first week of the playoffs, but they also then have to go on the road and face a Dallas Cowboy team that could be 8-8 winning the division, or could be 9-7 or 7-9 and win that NFC East because there's so many bad teams in that division. And so the Dallas Cowboys would then get gifted a home playoff game just for winning the division. And that just doesn't make sense. I always tell my kids, you can't use the term fair. It's not fair. You know, I hate that term, and I'm not using that term here. It doesn't make sense. Overall body of work should count more than whether or not you win your division. Win your division, you still get in. I don't have a problem with that. But overall body of work should count more when it comes to seeding these teams in the playoffs now going forward.
What if you just combine divisions?
What do you mean?
During the regular season, we don't worry about the playoff portion of it, but you make the divisions actually meaningful. Crowd team, why do we need to have 4 divisions?
Oh, you're saying like have 2 divisions or something like that. Yeah,
and then make it more impactful. I've always thought the division thing is just weird because you're playing so little of your schedule. You know, the majority of your schedule is
10 of your 16 games are against other teams. But yet the division record matters so much.
Supposedly, we're beholden to the winning your division.
Right, because it's antiquated. I mean, there are rules in the NFL that are antiquated that were established, you know, back in the 70s and whatnot that maybe made more sense on paper back then when you had fewer teams than you do right now, 26 teams or whatever it was, you know, 25, 24 teams, whatever the case may be, when the league first really got going. And it made more sense back then. But now as the league has expanded, the league has grown, you've shrunk the division size. And if you're going to add that 17th game and you're going to add another couple of playoff teams with the new collective bargaining agreement that's coming into place, that's the perfect time then to start reseeding this thing and saying, we're just going to seed our teams based on record, not necessarily on whether or not you win a division, because some teams are at a decided disadvantage based on the division in which they play.
And then especially in a year where you're like, I did play in a good division.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you bang the drum for it. Like Seattle and San Francisco are probably the ones that would be on the front edge of this year. Like, see, this is impacting us.
Sure.
Let's go ahead and make that move.
I mean, Dallas Cowboys are playing the Giants twice. They're playing the Eagles twice. And they're playing the Redskins twice.
And back in the day when we considered, you know, the AFC West, oh, this is one of the toughest divisions. You would want that type of scenario as well.
Right.
To take place.
I mean, look what the Chiefs get. They get a bad Broncos team twice. They get a bad Chargers team twice. And they get a bad Raiders XFL team twice. So you've got certain teams that have the benefit of the doubt because they're playing such weaker opponents. And you shouldn't be rewarded for that. You shouldn't be rewarded because the teams in your division are terrible.
I don't think the Raiders get demoted to the XFL this year.
Soon. They're going to Vegas. That's because, got XFL written all over
it. Because they're playing well enough where they've avoided relegation.
Okay.
They need to make the NFL 4 divisions, the NFL West, the NFL South, NFL East. They just need to do it that way.
And not even have AFC, NFC?
No, let's get rid of that. Let's make it all in the West.
8 four-team divisions?
Yep.
Play more of those games. Yeah. You take away the ability to play a bunch, you know, more teams every year, which is kind of the kind of fun part of football, though,
right,
too. That it's a little more frequent to find those types of matchups. But I've always thought the division thing was weird because it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Ultimately, it doesn't.
I mean,
matter.
All it gets you is a home playoff, which is nice. You wanted that home playoff game, but you haven't really earned it. You're not playing enough of those meaningful games against the division to consider yourselves
and beating enough good
division
teams.
Champs.
And I don't want to hear, well, you do away with the rivalries and all that. If you were to go to like what Kramer suggested, there are no rivalries really anymore in the NFL.
Well, you can still have rivalries. You'd actually probably have more because you would play more division, quote unquote, division games.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd force more division games that make it more impactful to win your division.
Mm-hmm.
You don't earn that enough right now.
You don't.
It's nice that we've had, you know, all the t-shirts and stuff.
Right.
It's not really earned.
Yeah. It's, you beat the Raiders. Whoop-de-doo.
It's just a formality.
You beat the Broncos. Yay.
Welcome to Everyday Problems. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.